It's time for ER 101 with expert guest. Here's Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER 101. Well, one of my favorite new health foods today is chocolate, and it's just in time for Valentine's Day. So our expert, Dr. Bruce Lobitz, an emergency physician in Columbia, South Carolina, and a fellow of the American College of Emergency Physicians, as well as a guest on this show before, is here to talk about it. So it's pretty exciting news. Things in the past that maybe we didn't think of as health foods, like chocolate and wine, have now been found in new studies to be beneficial. Can you talk a little bit about chocolate?
Sure. The main thing with chocolate, and it's related to the red wine thing, which is the old French paradox about how the French can be so healthy and have low incidence of heart disease, even though they drink all this wine. Well, it turns out that some of the same chemicals, these flavonoids and antioxidants that people probably heard of, are found in both chocolate and red wine.
Right. And, you know, and it is interesting because when you think of French food, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is the butter and all the sauces. And it's not really, it's kind of the opposite of what we've been talking about with the Mediterranean diet. So it is pretty amazing that they do have a lower heart attack rate than we do.
Right, and again, the part of it is, and it's probably not the whole explanation, but part of it is that, again, there are these chemicals found in red wine that to some extent counteract the influences of the high-fat foods. And the problem is the flip side of it, which I kind of wanted to point out, is that especially for chocolate, for example, there are beneficial chemicals and antioxidants there, especially in the dark chocolates. But you have to realize that you're getting the bad kind of with the good all in one thing, because there's so much sugar and so much fat in chocolate that it's kind of like eating a whole pizza just to get the calcium from the cheese.
And that's a good point.
There is some benefit, there is something to it, but it's buried underneath all the unhealthy part.
Well, it's because not all chocolate is created equal, correct? I mean, white chocolate, I don't even think that's chocolate, right? There's probably, it's the cocoa or that has these flavonoids in it, right? So white chocolate.
Correct. It's the natural, it's part of the cocoa plant that they get the pure chocolate chemical from, kind of just in the manufacturing process. That's these flavonoids and other chemicals are kind of the baggage that comes along with that, and that's found to the, so the higher the cocoa percentage, the better the benefit. And like you said, white chocolate is very low in that.
Right, and it's interesting because today, you know, anyone that's been, you know, buying chocolate recently has noticed that, I guess, once some of the benefits came out, people, the chocolate manufacturers were kind of labeling it. So, you know, you see the spectrum of, you know, 30% cocoa or cacao up to 50, 75 and such. So is there a recommendation for the healthiest, or do you just tell people to try and eat the healthiest, the highest percentage? Yeah, so, and what's interesting is anyone, I guess we lost Dr. Lobitz, he'll be back in a minute, but these percentages, anyone that bakes knows that when it's 100% cacao and just pure chocolate, I mean, you can't even take a bite of that. It is so you know, hard and not creamy and so bitter tasting that 100% cacao absolutely is the worst thing. So you kind of have to balance out what's actually going to be tasting good. We lost you there for a second. I don't know what happened to Dr. Lobitz, but anyway, so that's the key with the chocolate. So you want the highest percentage, the least amount of sugar, the least amount of fat, but you have to balance that off with the bitter taste of 100% pure cacao. But what I found interesting about this is a recent study, when you think about diabetes, right? I mean, you're supposed to actually, you know, lower your sugar intake. But what they found in a new study, a very small study in England that looked at the diary of 2,000 women, when they looked at food and drink, they found that those that ate these small amounts of dark chocolate with red wine actually helped balance their sugar. And these were actually a small amount of dark chocolate with the higher percentage of cacao actually helped even in diabetes. Did we get Dr. Lobitz back yet?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. We lost you for a second. So it's really, it's hard to balance out that, the right percentage of cacao, because, you know, I was saying when we lost you, if you've ever tried to eat baker's chocolate, which is strictly for cooking, 100%, it tastes terrible.
Exactly. And that's, again, that's kind of part of the problem. The higher the percentage of the chocolate, the more sugar they have to put in it to counteract the bitterness, so it's more palatable. So, at the higher percentages, you're getting so much sugar that it probably counteracts whatever benefit you get from these flavonoid chemicals. And it's obviously complicated.
But it was interesting. This recent study did show, even in diabetes, where you're trying to regulate the amount of sugar, that the women who had kept diaries, a small study in England, who had small amounts of dark chocolate and wine, which it's hard to regulate your sugar with alcohol, they actually had the best regulation in their sugar.
Yes, and that's one of those things that's interesting results, but nobody can really explain it because it doesn't seem to make intuitive sense. But with mostly, and again, it's because of the high sugar, everything in moderation is probably the better way to approach it.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about wine besides having Resveratrol is the chemical in wine that's supposed to be, it's a polyphenol, right, that's supposed to be extremely healthy in wine. So what is the recommendation for wine, and is it only red wine, really, that has the highest amount of that?
Yes, it is just red wine. Obviously, those chemicals are present in white wine, but to a much lesser extent. The idea is that they're found in the skins of the grapes, which are left in to make red wine.
Oh, that's interesting.
As far as official recommendation, I don't think American Heart Association or any national organizations have come out with any specific numbers because, again, it's one of those things where there is something to it. But to get the in high amounts, you're getting the alcohol along with it as kind of the extra baggage. And obviously, drinking a lot of alcohol is not good for you in other ways.
Right. And, you know, some of the, I don't think they do have, you're right, exact recommendations. But when they talk about moderation for men, certainly I've heard people say maybe just 2 drinks a day and women 1 drink a day. But if you think about that, 2 drinks a day, depending on your size, you could be considered legally drunk if you had 2 drinks at dinner. So there is that potential risk.
Absolutely. And that, so I would recommend more like 1 or 2 drinks every other day to be, you know, 5 or 6 over the course of a week. Because binge drinking, you don't want to, like you said, you don't want to get 2 or 3 or 4 or more drinks, you know, in 1 12- or 24-hour period. That's considered a quote-unquote binge and is just as bad for you as chronic alcohol use or daily alcohol use.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting. Another interesting study talked about perhaps just drinking purple grape juice would have similar benefits without any of the alcohol there. So that's one way to get your polyphenols. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well and tune in to your health.